for most. Football for many. Family, hopefully for most. Although that changes with the times and the geography. But what is Thanksgiving? And then we go back and we think of the first Thanksgiving, perhaps, and we think of pilgrims. Was it half who died on the ship coming over? And then reaching the new land and these new peoples, the Americans, Indians, Native Indians, who are not used to the diseases. And with the English who came over, they brought diseases that wiped out a whole tribe, apparently, or almost a whole tribe. Was it Fox News? I caught a glimpse. I didn't catch all of it. I don't think it was tongue-in-cheek. But they were talking about something called woke, if you're familiar with woke. I don't know how serious it is, but apparently they were talking about a perhaps movement that maybe we ought to woke Thanksgiving because of the abuses we did to the Native Indians and everything else. What is Thanksgiving? And of course, the pilgrims came to this country because of a desire to worship the Lord, I would say in a biblical manner rather than in the manner of the Church of England and so forth, in Holland, where they also touch base, if I recall. But we who belong to Jesus Christ, how thankful I am for a country that did set aside a day of Thanksgiving and for us to be able to come together and to begin our day. A little later, it's 10 o'clock. You began earlier to get here. But to start this day and then where we go from here, we'll scatter. But what a time and an opportunity to set aside and to remember. Most of us, many of us, have tomorrow off, Saturday. Lots of days for ourselves. But to remind ourselves once again of the goodness of God and what He's given to us. We are richly blessed. So I welcome you. A number of our people are sick, not able to be with us, a number away. But it's good to have each one of you here. But most of all, we come into the presence of God once again. And yes, God is everywhere. But what a precious reality to come together. Come, ye thankful people, come. And we're going to be singing in just a few moments. Two songs. I have a devotional. I was put in my place this morning because there's no PowerPoint. There's no PowerPoint. It's not a sermon. I just have a devotional. I trust to prime the pump and to remind us of why we're here, because, again, you expect to see someone at the pulpit, but in a few moments it'll be turned over to you, and I trust that we have something ready to share from our hearts, spontaneous, prepared, whatever, but thanksgiving as we come together. I want to read from Psalm 150. It's within the last week part of my devotions. I shared it with Kathy, who, as you know, longs to be here. But Psalm 150. After all the emotions of the Psalms, so many times down, and normally when they're down in the Psalms, they wind up at the end by reflecting upon, wait, my enemies are here, life isn't good right now, but wait, there's a God who is sovereign and over all. Sovereign and over all. And so I read Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I trust you have breath this morning. If you didn't, we wouldn't be sitting around you as such. But let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, what a privilege of your grace and mercy that allows us to come together. We are not so sick that we cannot be here. For the most part, if not all, there's a desire within our hearts to be here. And Father, how good to be able to remember. We're going to sing in a few moments, Count Your Blessings. And so to remember, Father, that which we do have, how great you are, our God. Thank you again for this country, for America. Thank you for the pilgrims who came and others who discovered this land. And thank you for those who either knew you or had a reverence for you. So many, not all, but so many who came to this land to worship, who came to this land to allow others to worship freely and openly. And Lord God, your word makes it so clear that we ought to see the reality of you from your creation, but even more specifically from your word and from the living word Jesus as one grows into a relationship with him, as one calls upon Jesus, recognizing one's sinful need, and calls upon Jesus for that salvation that he alone is able to give. So thank you for each one here now. And thank you, dear God, that it might be a time in which we bring true joy to you, true praise, for you are worthy of that. Again, how great thou art. We ask your Holy Spirit's freedom, Father, we pray in our midst, to unleash us, Father, in a way that would worship you. May we focus here now, the rest of the day, the rest of the week, the rest of our lives. Father, may we be able to, in some ways, set that aside. And again, have a meeting with you. So we commit this time now into your hands as we pray in that precious, powerful, sweet name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Would you open your songbook then to 559? 559. Traditional. Not the Daniel in our church here. You don't have to look at him. But in the book of Daniel, we're just going to focus a few moments on this individual. I want to read Daniel 2, verse 23. Daniel 2, 23, it's a topical message taken from that verse. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now, you have made known to me what we requested of you. Amen. Let's pray. Once again, Father, we've been able to sing. I trust you hear our hearts when we sing. And the voices. A focus upon you. And now we've just read one verse from your word once again. And Father, that you'd help us to get a look at this one called Daniel. And perhaps, Father, that we could learn from him to be reminded of things that I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have heard. But Father, to realize again the importance, yes, of some traditions, but most of all the importance of a relationship and let it be known, that relationship that you've extended to us, that by your grace, I trust, we have come to take hold of for ourselves. So, Lord, we count our blessings. We would relate our blessings. We would hear from you that we might say with a lifetime, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving my soul. And thank you that you are in the process of making one whole. Thank you for the day to come when we will be home with you. Not for a Thanksgiving meal in one sense, but in another sense, very much so, even the wedding feast of the Lamb. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that you would use this to prepare our hearts, not just for this morning or this day or this weekend, but for a lifetime to be reminded. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lest the day be too much of a day of thanksgiving for you, I came across something I found over 40 years ago. used to receive, I think I've told you about Pulpit Helps, that newsletter that came out, I think, monthly. But maybe some bad news to start with, or news that you need if the day is going too well for you. How to spoil your Thanksgiving. One, how to spoil your Thanksgiving. Forget the many good things in life you have and overemphasize the few things you lack. Two, think that money is more important than it actually is. Three, think that you are indispensable. They can't get along without you, your job, your family, life. Think that you are indispensable. Four, think that you have too much to do. Most of you, I think, if not all of you, are all finished. There's nothing more to do today except relax and enjoy. Maybe not. Think that you're exceptional or entitled to special privileges. Forget that a sense of responsibility is essential. Think that you can control your automatic nervous system by reason or will. Forget others. Cultivate a pessimistic outlook. Feel sorry for yourself. Perhaps the worst mental habit. Woe is me. It's the pits. My sister's expression from years ago. This is the pits. Count your blessings. Daniel, most of you know about Daniel in the lion's den. Or Daniel, a faithful man of God during tough times. Babylonian captivity, 70 years worth, he lived out. Daniel is the interpreter of dreams. Dreams that, wow, foretell the future that we can't understand. Daniel. Daniel was probably 15 to 18 years of age when he was captured and removed to Babylon. In chapter 1 of Daniel, he is described with others, the king ordered his official, his chief official, take, use, verse 4 of chapter 1, in whom was no defect, perfect bodies, if you please, who were good looking, whatever that means, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge. 15 to 18 years of age, apparently they were, the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, but specifically here we're talking about Daniel. But take these men. The year is about 605 B.C. He will be there until 535 B.C., thereabouts in captivity, 70 years, as I mentioned. In chapter 2, we have Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of the Babylonian Empire. And Nebuchadnezzar has not been able to sleep. He's had strange dreams. He's troubled by them. What do they mean? And God can and still does, I don't think that frequently, but can speak to us through our dreams. Dreams depending on what you ate the night before. Dreams depending upon where your mind's been at. Dreams. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know, what do those dreams mean? Simple. I'll call my magicians, my conjurers. I'll call those who are my wise men. And Nebuchadnezzar had some smarts. He knew if he told them the dream, they'd come up with something. And so he did what we might say, humanly speaking, was the impossible. Tell me what I dreamt last night. I didn't have a dream last night that I can remember. But the night before I had one, a strange one. Would someone please tell me what I dreamt? You hear me. Crazy. And they told him that. There's no person alive who can tell you what you dreamt. Tell us. No. I know you guys too well. You'll either tell me what I dreamt, and then the interpretation, or very simply, I'll end your days. I'll put you to death. And so the word got out. The word got out. Go get Daniel and his contemporaries, as well as my magicians, my wise men. They're all going to be put to death. And so you look at the text here, and what you find is, verse 13, the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. Verse 17, Daniel chapter 2. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Not our Azariah here, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the other names, about the matter. And he went and informed them, verse 18, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven, that they might pray to God. If any man lacks wisdom, James 1:5, ask of God. You got a problem, you're down, you're happy, go to God. Go to God, pray, ask him, so forth. Well, he went to them that there would be prayer. I remind you again, Daniel was a man of prayer. He dared to ask, but he was also a man of thanksgiving, and that's where we need to be. Daniel lived during extremely tough times. Perhaps you're feeling the same, I know, for some of you. For some not able to be here today because of illness and other matters. Extremely tough times in this world. Again, it should be no shock to us that there are extremely tough times. We've been told that. Follow Jesus Christ, and no, not everything goes smoothly. Follow Jesus Christ, and you will see what goes on in this world as far as trials, temptations, struggles, rough times, disappointments, heartaches, all of the above. It's part of life down here now. And the older you get, the more you're going to see and experience. And prayerfully, the more mature we get and understand and realize what life is all about. And so there are basically three thoughts I want to leave with you. Three simple thoughts that'll build upon each other. The first is, give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. What a simple statement. What a profound statement. What a necessary realization. Give thanks to God. There once was a ship that was launched. Many ships have been launched, but this one was launched with the hubris, with the pride. Quote, this is the ship that could not be sunk. Most of you know what I'm talking about. The Titanic. The Titanic sank. There were some, what, 2,200 passengers aboard, something like that, its maiden voyage. It hit an iceberg and went down. In my research, I was reading again, if it had hit the iceberg straight on, well, that ship was built so that four compartments could be flooded and it still would be okay. But apparently more than four compartments flooded, the ship was not okay. There was a ship, I think it was the California. I'm not positive of that. My memory escapes me from yesterday even. But the Californian that was nearby and did nothing. Excuse me. There was a ship called the Carpathia, which was 58 miles away. And when it heard, I assume, the SOS, Save Our Ship, we talked about that, you know that. Full speed ahead it came. Forget the icebergs. Full speed ahead, 58 miles away, the Carpathia came. It's interesting, the Carpathia was able to rescue 705 survivors. The ship itself was pretty full with 700 passengers of its own. And they took on another 705, 13 lifeboats, 705 were rescued. Over 1,500 died in the waters when the Titanic went down. It's also interesting, the Carpathia did not last much longer. I think it was 1918, World War I. She was torpedoed and sank herself a little bit later. But for now, there was a rescue. And those who were rescued met together on board to drop a letter of thanks. And they wrote within their letter, thank you so much to the captain, thank you to the crew, thank you to the 700 passengers on board who helped to rescue us, and so forth. And they finished their letter. There was a woman by the name of F.W. Ryerson. She happened to come from Philadelphia. From Pennsylvania, our state. She spoke up. We thanked the captain, we thanked the crew, we thanked the passengers, but no one thanked God. No one thanked God for our rescue. Imagine that. Yes, we are to thank those we directly see. That is proper and right. The neighbor who brought you over a fresh loaf of bread, thank you so much. The boss who gave you a bonus, Christmas time for many of you, you get bonuses. I don't know about Thanksgiving, often a turkey. But thank you so much. Your sister who did your chores for you. Thank you, sis. Or was it your mom who fed you, clothed you, loves you, is up in the middle of the night when you're sick? Thank you. Thank you, mom. Thank you, wife. Thank you, husband. Thank you. It is proper to thank those we directly see. But sadly, we often forget, especially the one we don't see. You remember the boy who came with a loaf of bread and was asked, where'd you get that loaf of bread? From the store. No, where did you get it? The baker who made it. No, where'd you get it? Well, the farmer who grew the wheat so that the baker could make it, so that the store could get it, so that I could get it. No. Where'd you get it? From God. Ultimately from God. The Word of God makes so clear. Why can't we see God behind everything? Thinking again about Thanksgiving, or should I say Thanksgiving. Thinking again about a worldview where God is at the center, because He is at the center. But too often we don't see Him. And we relegate Him maybe to our devotional life, or our church life, definitely. We've got to focus on God. There's even a cross up there behind me now. Pastor, where's your PowerPoint? I don't have one for this message. But you get to view the cross. What a reminder that should be again about a worldview that God has for us. Thankfulness. Thankfulness has been called the memory of the heart. The memory of the heart. We are so nearsighted. We need to remember that every, underscored in my outline, every good and perfect gift comes from above. That's why He's behind that loaf of bread. And He's behind everything. Every breath I take. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Yes. Forget not His benefits, but thank God. Thank God. Second thought, building on thank God, give specific thanks to God. Give specific thanks to God. Again, I read Daniel 2, verse 23. Look at that verse again. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you. So I give thanks and praise. I asked, and you came through exactly with what I needed. Yes, He was shown the dream and then the interpretation. Yes, a miracle. The little things, the big things in life. The reality of a God-centered view. Specific thanks for what He's done for you, what He's doing for you, where He's at in your life right now. To give special thanks. God's people, yes, we are to be a thankful people. Too often it is too easy to major on complaints and to whine about what I don't have. Why is this happening to me? And what's going on here? Have you forgotten me? And consequently to worry rather than to be thankful. The political results, either way in what goes on politically, we can whine and complain. I was counting on it. Okay, to a certain extent maybe. But wait, God hasn't left. He's over this country, the politics. Again, inflation and the prices. And no, I don't enjoy him. And I am very quick to say something I probably shouldn't say, but thank you to a certain individual when I see some of the prices. But to remember again, God, you are sovereignly in control. No, I am not hurting. I'm doing well. And I've tasted the turkey and some of the stuffing already that we're going to be served later today. God is good in so many ways. I am blessed. Yes, the prices are going up. Yes, I've lost some money in the stock. Some money? I've lost a bit. Whatever. God, it's yours. If that's the way you want to take care of it, okay with me. Okay with me. Yes, we can always do with a God who is there for us. And He says He is for us. Sickness, and so many of us right now not able to be here this morning because of sickness. Some are getting better, and yes, Stan did come home yesterday. And we praise God for that. But he is still not 100%. There's still chest buildup, and some of you know what happens with him. Because of his condition that God sovereignly has allowed him to have, he can't cough it up. You ought to see, maybe you've seen Ellie. She pounds his chest and pushes here. He gets it up. But again, I did not see him complaining. I did not see her as such. And realizing again, God, you are sovereign. But it's too easy to whine and complain rather than to be that thankful person God would have us. Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, yes, Ephesians 5, husbands, yes, wives, yes. But there's more than that there. What is it to be filled by the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes, to be filled by the Holy Spirit is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that is a command. I remind you, if you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. You have 100% of the Holy Spirit within you if you are born again. You don't get a part of them. You've got all of them. And you know my other side of the equation. How much of you does he have? You have all of him. How much of you have you allowed to control your life and where you're at? But what is it to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We're looking for the miraculous, perhaps something, you know, spectacular, the charismatic movement and so forth. Wait a second. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 18. Verse 18, Ephesians 5. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And literally it's be being filled constantly. It's not a once for all action, but being filled with the Spirit. What happens then? How do you know? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's going to be a joyful spirit of singing to the Lord when I am controlled by the Holy Spirit. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always, whoa, always giving thanks for all things. All things. That word all. You know, all things work together for good. All things, yeah, God's going to work it out just great. No, all things work together for good. All things are the things you didn't want. It's a disappointment that you got because it wasn't answered your prayer the way you expected and desired and thought God was going to come through for. Oh, he did come through for you, but in a way you did not want or like or expect. But I do like it. If I understand the larger purpose that God, you've got something else in mind for me than I has for me. Than I has for me. God, your goal again. Paul, we've been watching him now. We're on our way to Jerusalem. We're on our way to Rome. I want to get to Rome to share Jesus. You'll get there, but you're going to die there. You're going to die there eventually. You sure you want to go to Rome? I want God's will for my life, you could hear Paul say. Regardless, this is what God has for me. I want it. If this is what God has for you in your life, you need to want it. Remember what I said. If this is what God has for you, because he loves you more than you can ever know, he'll only allow to happen to you or to bring upon you what is ultimately for our good. Ultimately for our good. I don't see it, maybe, but this is the God of the Bible that I know. The God of the Bible who is sovereign and control. And when my joy is in him, and when Jesus is enough, when Jesus is enough, count your blessings. Name them one by one and ton by ton, as I sometimes say. Name them, because there's lots of them there. Yes, to recognize again, my God. Yes, thanksgiving or thanks living is a sign of the Holy Spirit being in control of my life. I am filled with the Spirit as I learn to be thankful and not with a sour disposition and always looking negatively and down. Maybe we need to make a list. Maybe we need to make a list and just write down, count your blessings. Well, 1, 2, 3, 7, 9. Keep, write them down. If that's what you need in order to realize, wow, I thought life was bleak. But wait a minute. I've forgotten the other side of the ledger. There's so much there to be thankful for. Calumet, Michigan. I don't know if you know where that is. I didn't look it up, but I saw it a little bit on Wikipedia and different things, but it's up in northwestern Michigan, Calumet, Michigan. There was a mine there that was founded in 1871. It was closed in 1968. It was a copper mine up in Calumet, Michigan. Someone was visiting there. I don't know who it was. I'm not sure where I read this, but he was visiting there, and it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And the one who was his guide there said, "Just stand here. Just stand here and wait." Almost 5 o'clock. Stand here and wait and listen. All of a sudden, he began to hear. It was faint. He couldn't quite make it out. But little by little, it got louder and louder. The copper mines there were 16 shafts, 96 levels down under the earth. That's way down. 96 levels down in the copper mines. And all of a sudden he began to hear it. It was singing, "Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee." Singing. It got louder and louder and louder as the miners, many of these were Welsh miners, immigrants who had come to this land, who worked the mines back home. Many of them probably either there, I don't know the exact date of it, or remnants of the Welsh revival. They knew Jesus Christ. And singing and singing and singing, louder and louder, until they got to the top. And when they came out, off with the hats. We're losing reverence. I personally don't like hats on in the house, at the dinner table. I know I'm on my hobby horse. Definitely don't like him in the presence of God. I don't like us walking when someone's praying or reading the Word of God. When I grew up, ushers would keep people at the doors until afterwards. Sometimes we do that here. But the hats went off, and now they stopped, "Nearer, my God, to thee." And they began to sing. Oh, that song that we sing every Sunday morning. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." The doxology. They began to sing, "Near my God to thee, coming to the top. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. All, every good and every perfect gift comes down from above." Yes. And then when they finished, hats on, quietly they went home. Every day at 5 p.m., that same habit was done. Give thanks to God. Give specific thanks to God. Finally, habitually give specific thanks to God. Habits. Habits can be bad. Some of you have heard me maybe a number of times about my old habit. My nails, they're on display anytime you want to see them. I haven't painted them or anything, but I clip them now. I clip them. I used to not bite nails. That's disgusting. I wouldn't do such a thing as bite my nails. I would just peel them. I would peel them and clean them that way, get them smaller that way. I could peel them so that there was blood sometimes showing from them. Yeah. And I would sit with someone. I'd be counseling about worries. I'd be counseling about worries, but I wouldn't want you to see my hands. And finally, I just wrote on a slip of paper, N-A-I-L-S, about that big. And I put it on my desk, and I would pray. My father, my counselor, my best friend, finally one day, "Papa, Papa, to the glory of God, Father, I counsel not to worry, but I know when I'm doing this, it's when my pressures are building up and I need to do something. I took my habit, my addiction, and put that in front of me, and God, give me victory." To God's glory, I don't know how many years back it was done, but for years I had that in front of my desk. Lord, you've got to help me. You've got to help me. Simple illustration. I know there are big addictions today. Big addictions today. My sister, Karen, and Arnie, you guys know them. Many of you, young people, when you were young, would live at their home. They have a son, Eric Larson. Eric Larson and Dawn, they have a few kids, four, I guess it is, three boys and a girl. Adeline is the girl. Two oldest boys are twins, Isaiah and Noah. They graduated from college, and Noah got into politics. He's been living in Washington, D.C. He's been down at Freedom House, I think it's called. He works for a Republican representative from state of New York. Imagine that. There could be such a thing. But in any case, he's worked for him and lived at Freedom House. They're not all Christians by far, but Noah loves the Lord. My wife told me to, why don't you remind him of some place called Nine Marks Church in Capitol Hill in Mark Dever? And so I sent an email to him, and you may want to check out that church. And Noah's been going to Capitol Hill Baptist Church. He loves it. He's in a small group there. He's there at all the services and just on fire for Jesus. In his house, there are four guys in a suite. Two share a bathroom and whatnot, and then they have a common eating area and everything else, the four guys. None of the other three are Christians. Noah's roommate, three Sundays ago maybe, there was noise in the bathroom. He wasn't sure what was going on. He went out, and he found him on the floor dead. Overdose. Is it called fentanyl? Something like that? Yeah, another one of our young people with that drug that comes across the border. He was dead. Pray for Noah. His six-month deal there with the representative is just about over. He's back home. It shook him tremendously to find his roommate. He had no idea. None of them had any idea. The other three are not Christians, but no idea that this guy was doing drugs. Wow. Wow. Addictions. Yeah. Little ones, big ones. Lord, you were able to give victory. Habitual thanks to God. Daniel is an old man. We're in Daniel chapter 6 for a moment. He's an old man, maybe 66. We're not sure exactly how old he was, but by the time you get to Daniel chapter 6, Nebuchadnezzar is no longer around, and you've got Belshazzar. Is it that the one I want here now? No, we've got Darius, because we moved on. And it seemed good to him to appoint the leaders there, the satraps, etc., over the kingdom, the in charge of the kingdom. We've got a problem. We've got a problem. Look at verse 4. The commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel. You're familiar with this. With Daniel. What's the problem with Daniel? We can't find a problem with Daniel except for one thing. He's extremely habitual in his walk with God. Extremely habitual. He was faithful, verse 4. No negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Wow. Wow. The only way to get him is by trickery. And so no one's allowed to pray to anyone except our government leader for this time period. And sure enough, you come to verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he knew the consequences. He knew the consequences. Consequences. I was just reading in World Magazine last night about this lady whose mother had married, she was a Christian and married a Muslim guy. And since the father was a Muslim, this girl grew up supposedly a Muslim, according to the Sharia law, is it? In any case, she became a Christian. And some of you are aware of the fact that they tried to get her to become a Muslim. Tried to? They wouldn't stop. She was imprisoned, and finally the world entered in, and she was rescued. There's a book that's out that World Magazine just published, reviewed, and it's available. But what happened was, here she was, not only in prison, but a Muslim priest, Iman, would beat her mercilessly and regularly. Deny Jesus Christ, and she wouldn't. And she said, ironically, here I am. This man's trying to show me that Islam is a religion of peace as he's torturing me. It's a religion of peace. Turn in this direction. Wow. But she wouldn't. And finally has been released and a book has been written about her life. Habits. I will not. Verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house now in the roof chamber. He had windows open toward Jerusalem. He continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God. Thank you for your presence in the midst of this edict against me. Before his God, as he had been doing previously, it did not stop him at all. What stops us from being faithful? Sometimes it's not very much, is it? Sometimes it doesn't take too much. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks. A life of thanksgiving. Habitually. He kept on praying, he kept on praising, he kept on giving thanks. Nothing would stop him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, Paul writes in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. How are you doing with that? Young people, you want God's will for your life? Well, here's one right up front. In everything give thanks. Lord, thank you for being here, though everything seems to be going negative. I'm not getting the job. I'm not getting into the school I want. I'm not getting the guy or the girl. I'm not getting the whatever, making the team, whatever. In everything. Lord, you've got reasons. Help me to see who I am and what you want for me and from me. In everything give thanks. Paul writes to his young protege, his son in the faith, Timothy. His last letter, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he's describing the last days. Are we in the last days? I don't know. Maybe. Or they're definitely laster than they used to be. Signs of the last days? Ungrateful. Unthankful. Boy, how easily that comes. Again, to whine and complain and whatever. No, it may not be going well. But wait a second. It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my relationship with God when I'm on right terms with Him. Well, what more do I need? No, really nothing. What more would I like? Probably a lot. But Lord, it's okay because I've got you. Is it? Is it okay because I've got you? Any of you know of Edward Spencer? Edward Spencer? I didn't think you would. September the 8th, 1860. I don't think anyone was alive then. September 8th, 1860, 2 o'clock in the morning. Edward Spencer, I believe, is 25 years of age. He's a student at Northwestern and perhaps a theological school connected with Northwestern University at that time. It's right on Lake Michigan, right north of Chicago. Been there, done that, some of it. Diana's got a picture of me she likes. I don't know how many she likes of me, but anyway, she has one that she likes, and the wind is blowing. Windy city, Chicago. Storms. There was a ship. What was it called? The Lady Elgin. The Lady Elgin was a ship on Lake Michigan. Held about 300 passengers. It would sail between Chicago and Milwaukee on the Great Lake. Sightseeing boat. You would take an overnight trip down there or whatever. There was a great storm that came up, and there was a collision. There was a collision between a small schooner and the Lady Elgin. The schooner made it into Chicago somehow. During that storm, the Lady Elgin went down. 2 o'clock in the morning, university, dormitories. Edward Spencer and a number of others awakened. Edward Spencer wasn't the strongest guy in the world, but he loved swimming, and that helped him. And he was one of, I believe, about 200 volunteers. But he was probably one of the best of being able to help. Tied a rope around his midsection and off into the waves and the rocks that are there on the shoreline where the people who were able to get off the boat when it went down would be dashed against and killed. He himself got bruised, something hit him, and he was bloody. But he went out. I said 300 passengers on board, 279 died, drowned. 279 from 300, that's 21, made it, safe. He personally saved 17 of them. Out he went, back in, out he went, back in. He was exhausted. They took him to his dorm room. His brother found him there. Edward Spencer. And a gospel song has been written based on that account. All he could say was he was weak and wiped out. His body never recovered the rest of his life fully. I wonder, did I do my best? Brother, did I do my best? And some of you know the song, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he's done so much for me? It was written as a consequence of Edward Spencer's, did I do my best? Years later, he's out in California where he eventually died. And Dr. Torrey was holding meetings out there, and he used the illustration I just used. And someone in the audience said, Dr. Torrey, Edward Spencer's here in the congregation. Edward, would you please come forward? He got up there the best he could, hobbled up, Dr. Torrey asked him, he said, thank you for what you did. Big applause when he walked up. Thank you for what you did. Is there anything that you can remember that significantly sticks in your mind from that night and the 17 that you saved? He looked at him and he said, yeah, there's one thing. Not a one of the 17, not a one of the 17 ever said thank you. Wow. My title for the message, have we forgotten something? Not a one ever said thank you. It wasn't planned, but our prayer group last night, I closed with the chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich, full and free. Make sure that we don't forget to give thanks. Let us exalt his name together.
Serotonin in your body, which helps you to have a right heart. So even there, God says if we have a thankful heart, it helps us in so many ways. But I do thank God for himself. Yeah, I think the older we grow, the more we're just thankful that we can know this great, great God and our salvation, that he chose us. Yeah, so wicked, so far apart from him, and yet in his loving kindness brought those of us to himself who he has and others whom he'll bring. I just can't thank God for our freedom to worship still as we still pray for the persecuted countries. And for me, I was so glad just to be able to give a bed. We had to a Ukrainian couple who just came in May. From the war, we pray for them, but it was extra joy. I do pray through Titus, too, to give to me pressing needs who came. They were the ones we pray for who had to leave everything behind, had to go from house to house and then come here. And then the uncle came just a few weeks ago, right from the war. But that was, I just thought, Lord, you heard that prayer. I didn't know them. But you let me give to them 50 years of marriage together for Pastor and myself and our whole family, which I don't know if that'll ever happen again, except maybe at our funerals, got to be together for the births of Malachi and Kiana. Will I ever get it right? Kiana. We have a Kiana, sorry. And Soren out in San Diego. The deaths, we've had a lot to sober us, which I thank God. I do ask him to sober me for how short life is with my two sisters within a year. For Fred Fuller, right, that was this year. Dwayne Gibson, Mabel's father, Tammy Whitmer, our neighbor Martha, just a few weeks ago. And It's just good to sober us. Life is so short. Help us to live every moment for him. Our VBS, praise God for his spirit, but I thought, too, he kept us healthy through all of VBS, which we can often end up sick on that one. And just helping us as a body. We've all gone through so much this year. The nation has, the world, and yet that he's that steady, steady rock. Even the election, some things that were encouraging, Roe versus Wade, I'm thankful, was overturned. Not the problem's not still there, but helping through illness, our people, Bob, and we could go on with all of us different illnesses and what he has to teach us through illnesses. But he gives us grace to deal with hard things. And I'm just, yeah, we could, our list could go on and on. Like John said in his book, he could go on writing of all that God has done. But praise God.
Yeah, right in front of you, Mom. There, hope.
Yep. I'm so thankful for a lot of opportunities and blessings and challenges over this year. I feel like it's been like the biggest, busiest year ever. Yeah. And I'm starting to get an idea of what college will be like, I think, mm-hmm. or it might be 10 yes. times worse. I don't know. But yeah. So I'm thankful that I have this foundation here because I've definitely already heard, like, well, if you didn't go to church so much, you wouldn't be so busy. Yeah. But yeah. I'm thankful that I have this foundation that I can stop what I'm doing just on a Wednesday and come to church and that we can worship and pray and encourage each other, especially with Women's Fellowship. Recently, it's been so good, though I got called out for falling asleep one time. But it was a bad day. but it's so encouraging, and I'm so thankful that I'm able to do that this last year. And then something I've been thinking about this whole year, back on the winter trip, Pastor Paul was giving a sermon on Psalm 119, and specifically verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Yeah. I'm so thankful for a God who is willing to wait for us to come up to him and not so quick to just leave us as we are, that he's patient with us, because we are nowhere near him. I'm thankful for people around me who show the same kind of patience. Definitely not a perfect human. And especially my dad has been very encouraging and is always pushing me to go further, even when I think I'm at a good place. I know I'm not. But, yeah.
Praise God. Taryn.
Yeah, so I was thinking back over this past year, and I was trying to think of the one thing that kind of stuck out to me. And it came down to one thing, and it was God's saving grace.
Yeah.
This past year has just been like a little eye-opener for me. Yeah. I feel like the Holy Spirit has just been working so much, and I'm so grateful for it. I know that all the change that has happened in me has nothing to do with me, and it can only come from above. So I am just so grateful for what God has done for me in this past year, and I'm really looking forward to all the change that it's going to continue to happen, and I'm so thankful for all of you also, for all of you who have helped me and guided me as I continue this road, and so thank you to you too as well.
Yeah, who is it, John? Yeah. Thank you.
Hope, I can confirm that college can get worse. and my dad rolls his eyes because I bash on college, but it has grown me. One of the things that was really hard for me, that was really important for me going into college, was finding a church, because I've been in one church my whole life. That's been a humongous blessing. And every year I thank God for my family and then my spiritual family. You guys have, through the years, grown me, shaped me, guided me, shown me what not to do, shown me what to do. And it's been incredibly helpful and such a gift. And it's been confirmed so many times, but I go down to Bob Jones and I see how other churches do things, and they're great. I see the students that come to Bob Jones and the lifestyles they've had, the upbringing they had, and it convinces me more and more that God blessed me with, like, top tier in both those categories. Is just that I'm not a perfect example of the upbringing I had, whether in my house or here in church. I don't do everything right. But God has blessed me so much with that. But the church that I've finally been able to find down in Greenville's Gateway Baptist, and it's been really good. It has a pastor, Pastor Stikes, who challenges the mind while the congregation is really willing to come around and to support the students that come in from Bob Jones. We like triple their congregation, so they're very gracious. But one thing I've really appreciated was actually the Sunday school. We've been going through Ecclesiastes and talking about Solomon, and the man who has everything. He is the wisest. He has the most riches. He had all the women. He has everything. And yet he talks about how futile life is. God is the supplier of anything and everything meaningful. And it's such an amazing window into seeing. We're always like, one more this, one more that. Well, if I get here, I'll be happy. And Solomon's like, I did all that. I did all the hard work for you. I got everywhere. And so it's been a very, very good thing for me to be able to read recently and to see that God really is the only answer. And so it's been such a blessing. But today's about thanks. And so I definitely, once again, thank God for the family I have here as well as at home. So thank you.
Next.
So I got to talk with John David a while ago, and I was telling him about how God has been teaching me what thankfulness is, how important it is, and I've been more grateful for the things in my life than I've ever been before, and this is before Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
and yeah. I'm just so thankful for everything that God's given me, and it really does, like Mrs. Horgan was talking about, change how you act, and even your physical well-being. It just absolutely changes your life. But it takes work to be thankful. It takes work. Every day you have to get up and you have to look around, and even though things don't, you know, go the way you want it to always, or
hold it up closer and turn it down a little bit. Go ahead.
Even though things don't always go the way you want it to, it takes constantly saying, God, you have given me so much. Help me to see that and help me to live in light of that. And another thing that God has been teaching me is the value of truth. And I am so thankful for God's word and for God being the ultimate authority in everything. So no matter what happens, he is the ultimate truth. And I can always rely on that, and I can always fall back on that. That is something I'm so thankful for. And obviously, I have an awesome family. I guess I'm biased, but I have an amazing family that's been very supportive of me. And good friends and a church that I'm very thankful for. So, yeah.
Up here, Daisha.
So this year I'm celebrating Thanksgiving by being thankful that Christmas is almost here. Just kidding. but I was thinking about a couple things I could say. And obviously I could say thank you to my church. I know you guys are, like, such a blessing to me, as I know other people have already said. My family, who is not here, has also been really amazing, even though it all comes with challenges.
Yeah.
I have learned to appreciate them so much more within, like, the last year, I think.
Yeah.
But I was also thinking, as life seems to be getting harder and harder, like Hope was saying, and busier and busier, like, what is the purpose of it all?
Yeah.
And so I've been thinking about what it means to be created to glorify God and not to just enjoy life or something like that. But obviously we can enjoy what God has given to us. So I was reading Psalm 34. It was interesting. He says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to the cry.
Yeah.
The righteous cry, and the Lord hears. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I'm just thinking, like, oh, man, like, we have so many problems as Christians. But, like, God is our treasure, not the life that we wish we had or something like that.
Yeah.
And but also, our salvation is our treasure as well. Like towards the end, it says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones; not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned." So I was just thinking, how precious it is. To not be under the wrath of God. And also about God's grace to us, that even when I know that I can't obey him, even when I really want to, that like in some way that God has thrown my sin into the deepest sea, and he doesn't look at it. He looks at Jesus' perfectness, not my imperfections. And I've just been really pondering that, like how freeing it is to think about how it's not based on my performance. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing I could be thankful for. And I know that's something that I can base my life on, and I want to more and more, even when other things are really uncertain.
Yeah. Praise God. Over here. Go, Hannah.
Look this direction again. Well, I'm a little bit offended that the person Dad was thankful for wasn't me, because I think I've done a lot, let's just say.
Welcome back.
So looking over this year, it's been very interesting because it's not at all where I expected to be. Just even this semester, I've been traveling, like not even in school, not doing any classes.
Yep.
But going, like thinking, okay, well, I was talking to Mom, I was like, I don't know what to say because there's so many things I'm thankful for, but I don't know like how much to share or what would be an encouragement. But I figured I'd just give a little bit of my testimony from this year. So going back to this last semester, not this semester, the one before.
Yeah.
So last spring, it was like February, and I was so scared because I had too many credits. I was taking too many classes and had too many rehearsals. And so I didn't have enough time to do things. And I'm a perfectionist when it comes to grades. And so I was like, if my grades start suffering because I'm doing too many things, that's not okay with me. But I didn't know what to do because all of the classes I was taking, I had to take. Because the way it works sometimes is like there's one class that's only offered every other year. And I was planning on graduating a semester early, so I wouldn't be able to take it that last semester. So I was just praying a lot about that, like what to do about it. Because I didn't want to spend the next few months like constantly falling behind. And also financially, I was scared because I didn't know how I was going to pay for college. And even just like the next semester, I didn't know what to do about it. And then I went to this, we have these recital hour things with the Division of Music. And I went to that. And at the end of it, the head of the department was like, okay, we also have an announcement. We're sending out a music education ministry team next semester and the semester after that. So if you're interested, please contact this teacher and they'll get you in touch with the right people. And so he explained the benefits of it, how like you'd be on the road with a few other people for like 3 months. And it would pay for the next semester of tuition. And so it like puts you a semester behind, but it helps take care of the cost. And so this just seemed like a dream come true. I was like, this would be so perfect. So I spent the next like 5 days just like constantly so excited trying to figure out if that would work out. And then, so I had gotten in contact with everyone that I needed to and had the interview, like went through the interview process. And so finally got the email like, okay, we'd like to offer you this position. I cannot explain how much of an answer to prayer that was. I wanted to stay the extra semester so that I would graduate with my class. So that was another big thing. But then, here, I'll give you a little preface. Most of you know that I struggle with some sound issues, that I have this noise disorder, where just to sum it up very easily or like simply, basically there are a lot of like repetitive sounds that instead of processing it correctly and thinking, oh, it's just a repetitive sound, I get very angry. And so it just has caused a lot of issues. Ask anyone in my family. This has been one of the biggest trials in my life. And so, here, take your child. there's this guy at school who would sit behind me in chorale, rehearsal, and he's the whole time, like, sniffing and clearing his throat and just making so many sounds that I have so much trouble with. So I always thought of him as, like, the noisy guy. So, that's just a little preface real quick. His name is Noah. So then I asked one of my teachers, hey, do you know who's going to be leading the team? And they're like, yeah, Noah Scahill. I was like, oh, great. That's awesome. Then I had a whole new set of fears. I was like, God, why would you open this door if it's going to be one of the hardest things? Like, if you're going to put me with the person I struggle with the most. But then I was like, okay, but God already put me on this team. I have seen many ways that it's already been an answer to prayer. And so I spent the summer just praying about it and preparing to go into a few months of living with someone who I knew I would struggle with. And so, like, first day on the team, I was like, hey, guys, got to let you know I have this problem. And I'll try really hard not to kill you guys, and please try not to kill me. Noah right away was like, oh, I'm going to be your worst enemy. I already know I do so many things. But just seeing over the semester, God's grace so abounding. Noah had the kindest heart towards me. He never got angry with me for getting annoyed at something. It was really bad. He'd go like, sorry, sorry, the whole drive. But he was just the most gracious person, and very, very forgiving, but also loving and caring. But it was incredible just to see God working there. And people talk about exposure therapy being a good thing for this. It was basically 3 months straight of exposure therapy. I cannot explain how much of a blessing it was. And also just a good testimony that, like, often there are things that we think won't work out well, or if we could change it, we would change it. But God has a plan that is so much higher than ours. And he will use those things that we think can't be possible, just to bring us closer to him and to glorify himself. That's been a big theme too. Learning how to glorify God in every situation. So, yes. That's a little bit more about myself. Also, yeah. I think Oak wants to say something.
Okay. I was going to share something, but not right now. But, you know, I'm thankful for most of my family. I'm still thankful for Bryn. She's been really, really great. You know, I think I mention this every year, John David, would say, you know, marriage is going to be hard at times, and it's never been hard. I think the secret is that you have to be a really good husband. And the only reason I can say that is because, one, I'm running the mic over here and Brent's not going to get it. And number two, you're not allowed to hit people in church. So, I think I was trying to figure out what I was going to say. You know, I'm generally thankful for, you know, everything that's been going on in my life the past year, and, you know, everything in my life. I'm thankful for my church, my family, you know, my job and everything. And I didn't know what one thing to pull out. So I started thinking about, you know, what's one thing that I'm not that grateful for? I was thinking, well, you know, it's my house. I'm generally not very content with where I'm at. We're trying to move. I just don't like the street that we're on. And, mm-hmm. you know, the neighbors can be a little bit tough and stuff. Mm-hmm. But with this new job that I have, I moved from new construction plumbing to service plumbing. And so I'm in a lot of different houses a lot. And I've been able to see, you know, how a lot of different people live their lives. And, you know, we work in all areas. You work in the trailer homes, and you work in, you know, the mansions that you try to figure out, you know, what they do for a living to get them that house. And, you know, you go into some of the apartments and stuff that, you know, are really run down and trashy, and, you know, just stuff all over the place, and you really feel for them, especially, you know, we've had cases where, you know, people aren't able to pay, you know, what we're asking, and they want us to just leave. And thankfully, I have a very generous boss that lets us give discounts to our discretion, so I'm very thankful for that, because I hate just leaving people's houses and knowing that something's wrong. Seeing those houses, it makes me, you know, thankful for where I'm at. And then, you know, you go to these big houses and you're wondering, you know, what in the world does this guy do? You know, how's he home at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday? And second of all, like, how did he get this house? And then you do the job and you talk to the guy and you're like, okay, well, I don't want this house anymore. If I have to be like that guy, I don't want to, you know, I don't want any part of that. And so just learning how to be more content with where I am. I think also generally to kind of go along with that, a couple of years ago, there were some of us that were walking around Washington, D.C., like going to the monuments and memorials and all that. And it's really hard to be reverent through all the memorials because, you know, it feels like it's every 10 feet in D.C. So we're kind of just walking along and, you know, laughing and, you know, talking and all that. And we're going past the Vietnam Memorial. And there was a guy there, and he was in a wheelchair, and he was just talking. So we kind of stopped and listened, and he was saying how he was pretty much just giving out facts about Vietnam. Like, you know, the average age of people that go there was 18. The average age of death was like 19, you know, like all that stuff. And at the end he goes, you know, I'm a Vietnam vet. You know, I'm homeless here in New York City, not Washington, D.C., geography and stuff. And, you know, it really kind of hit me, you know, all the names on the wall, the people that died, like he knew them. He knew a lot of these people, and it really just kind of stuck with me. You know, we're in the same place on the map. You know, I'm right next to him, but we've had such different lives, and I'm really thankful for what they've done for us. I'm thankful that, you know, we don't have to do that right now. Maybe eventually we will, but right now we don't. Yeah, it just hit me.
God, thank you. Thank you. Others. Lisa.
I am very thankful that Great Grandma Jackie could come to church today, because we haven't seen her since one time we had went over to her house to help her clean her lawn because it had a bunch of sticks in it.
Yeah.
I'm also so grateful for Thanksgiving that we could all come together and have church services each Thanksgiving. I also am super thankful that we get to go to our family's houses and get to spend so much time with them. And I'm so glad that I'm very thankful for my family and my very loving and caring sisters and mother and father.
Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Lisa.
So I'm going to pretend I said this in April because I wanted to say this then, but I didn't. So in April, I got to go to T4G, which is this big pastors conference in Louisville, however you want to say it, Katya. It was really weird going there because there's like, I don't know, 11,000 people. And this is like pastors conference, so there's not really girls there, and nope. Especially not like teenage girls. So I was nope. Very much in the minority there. But I really enjoyed going there, rooming with Mrs. Wenger and Hannah Not-O. And I was really thankful for a lot of van talks. We had a long, long drive. And I hate car rides, but these people made it pretty enjoyable. I had some talks with Mrs. Wenger about having good talks, which I thought was a little like ironic. But it was really helpful, and I learned a lot. But from the sermons, I probably remember Greg Gilbert's sermon the most on Philippians 2 and humility. If I had my notebook, I'd remember a lot more. But there was one quote that stuck out to me where he said, "Unity lives where self-regard dies, and self-regard dies at the foot of the cross." And it just reminds me, it's all about the cross. And along with getting baptized this year, I've been thinking a lot on how thankful I am for Christ's gift of salvation for us. And, like, all that he's done. But back to the quote, it really hit me how dead to self we need to be and how much we're really, really not. There's a lot of me in my life, but I'm thankful for a lot of people in here that keep reminding me that my life's not about me, and just the reminders that God has been giving to me that I need to focus on him more and prioritize my relationship with him. So I'm just thankful for where I've grown with God this year and for what I'm continuing to learn.
Yeah. Yeah, Olga.
In my ideal life, I will be prepared and have a list and everything. It's just a lot to think about, and listening to all of you and the songs that we actually have the tradition of you, Horgan family, singing to us every year. It's so special. I can't help to cry each time. But for all the consistency that God has provided in my life, because like I know, when people ask why did you move from Colorado here, when I remember like reasons when we put there, I was thinking one of them was that I wanted the consistency that I saw here in this church, because growing up, in non-Christian home, and then all kinds of things that were leading me there. I wanted also to raise my family in a situation where there is a patterns in life. But this is not what I was going to say, actually. Yeah. But thankful for the structure that God has provided for us. That, as Hope said, we have this pattern of coming to church, and which we would not come up on our own. God just did it for us to keep us safe, keep us growing. Also thinking about Sunday school, how we talked about fruits and roots lately a lot, and how is it important to really look into what's causing all the problems that we have, and how to be thankful. Also, this is like what Vanya was saying. I need to learn, because there's a lot of complaining and whining in my life too, which is work also to learn to be thankful. But also the what was mentioned lately in Sunday school about cross-shaped focused for fruit in our lives, that how whatever circumstances we are, like, find God's purpose in that. But also I'm thankful for communion with God, which is so precious. And as I'm learning to pray, I'm learning how God is just longs for us to come to him, and how much he can accomplish through prayer.
Couple more. It's winding down, so you're going to need to move. Jonathan, over here.
All right. I'll just preface this by saying I'm not an eloquent speaker, and I haven't prepared anything, and I might lose it all. The last few years have been interesting, moving out of Mexico up here. It's completely different change, and I have very much changed in the last few years. Especially this last year, I would drop that right up here. This last year was a bit confusing. There were a lot of ups and downs. Still going through stuff, just with direction, it's easy to look around at all these college students, and especially looking at my brother too. It just seems like so much more obvious and a clear path for where to go. And while I feel like I've done what God wants me to do, it's still easy to look around and question. Like, I'm here. The people my age are all kind of running away to college one year at a time. And, I mean, it's a small church. Yep. Where do you want me here, Lord? What do you want me to be heading? And I don't know, even though I had all these different ideas boxing God in for how I thought he needed to work in me to bring me to whatever idea I had in my head, he's slowly kind of stripped away everything and showed me what mission looks like in the church, what it looks like to be caring for people around you. Just opening my eyes to how many opportunities there are, even in a small town like this, small church like this. Yep. There's so much opportunity, and he's just made it really clear. And then also just really breaking me down the last year and like stripping away everything that I had built my confidence upon and teaching me what it looks like to live each day depending on him. And it's a daily battle, a daily choice. He'll show you one thing, and then next morning you wake up and you forget it. And it's a daily choice going not only in repentance and humility, acknowledging failure and that we're not going to be able to do it, and then having to not only take it in faith that even with that failure, he's still able to work, and because of the Spirit in us, we're able to please him. And then also just take it at faith that he knows what he's doing. Yeah. It's up to us to be obedient and faithful where that's clear, and even with the big picture out of our view, we have to be able to trust him. And it's not easy. It's like I said, it's a daily battle. But I am just really appreciative of what he's taught me so much in these different areas, and thankful to all of you guys. This church has done so much for me. The different studies and Sunday school and all of them. I've learned so much through it and through you guys. And I'm very grateful, thankful to God for that.
Praise God. Sarah. There you go.
I too, much like most of the people here that I've seen so far, did not come prepared or meaning to say anything at all. But ever since I started high school, I've suddenly been hit with the realization that in 3 or 4 years I will be out of school and expected to like start my adult life. And it is honestly one of the most terrifying things I've ever thought about, especially seeing as how so many of my friends and the college kids and the people around me are know what they're going to do, you know, on the track to success. whereas I am in complete confusion and have no clue what to do with the rest of my life. And I've been very stressed about it. But I realized that I definitely wasn't putting enough. I was worrying too much about something that's too far away. And while I do need to think about that and process it, I also wasn't being thankful enough for the things that are sturdy and are sure in my life, because I realized that there are certain things that I can just rely on and that will always be there. And I just would like to be, I'm very thankful for the people in my life that are there, but also because God is always going to be there, and I know that I can always turn to him when things get too much, and I'm just very, very thankful for that. Praise God.
A couple more. Dan.
So recently, I've been thankful for the peace that God gives when we rely on Him.
Yeah.
It's I've noticed recently that I get bothered by a lot of little things, whether it's like I don't think someone did something exactly the way I would want them to do, and it affects me, or someone says something to me or about me that I feel like that's not exactly how I want people to think about me. And so I think I've always been bothered about stuff like that, but it's just recently I've noticed, wow, that's a problem. I read in Devotions a little while back, I think it was in Luke, with Mary and Martha, and Jesus said, Martha, you're too bothered by little things. Yeah. And I don't know exactly how he phrased it, but it kind of was meaningful to me because that's how I am. I get bothered because I want something done exactly right, or I want things to go my way. And I'm very thankful that that at the end of the day, I can go to God and say, God, change my heart. There's so much that needs to be changed, but please just make me yours and help me to be closer to you, and help me to know that you're the only one that matters.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for that, and I'm praying that that I'll be able to do that better.
Yeah. Praise God. Thanks, Dan. We're here. No, go ahead.
Talking to in groups, but I felt like I needed to add to the amount of wingers who've spoken today. So most of you guys know that I have I come from a family of seven. I'm the youngest. My oldest sister's 24 years older than I am. So there's quite a big age gap. It's been such a blessing to have my second oldest sister, Megan, live behind us and raise her four youngest kids. And it's really great because it's helped me to exercise patience with them, because I'm far from being great with kids, but I'm really thankful for that. And recently they decided that there's too many of them and they needed to move. And that was hard on our entire family, but I felt like God's timing was really great, because my older brother is going to buy the house from them and he's going to have a baby. And I just felt like that was a huge blessing.
Diane. Yeah.
So this is the first Thanksgiving praise service I've been able to be at. Usually I'm home with my family, and as you can see, I'm masked, so I am not home with my family.
Yeah.
So trying to find, you know, the blessings that God gives us even when plans don't go as planned. And this has just been such a nice service and encouraging to my heart. This morning I read in Psalm 111, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. And it was really convicting, because I don't feel like I have been the most thankful lately, and I have definitely not been thankful with my whole heart. This past year, I have tried to be more cognizant of God's blessings, even little things that we take for granted, just pausing before I get in my car to smell the crisp air or see the sunrise. You know, there was a sunset, and I actually pulled over on the side of the road and looked at it. And I thought, I just need to be more aware of what God gives me that are free, that those free blessings every day, and be aware and feel my, I mean, nature is something that does make me feel happier. I'm not saying that we worship that, but it is something that is used in my life to refresh me and restore me in a way. And I'm just trying to be aware of those things better this past year, even this summer, you know, when we were away and I was walking, I was just so thankful. Like, I can walk again, Lord. Thank you for restoring my body. Mm-hmm. You know, thinking this morning after I read that verse, just trying to be more thankful. I woke up to a cup of something spilled all over the floor. I don't know how the mug was upside down, not broken, but it was a mess. And I came down, I was like, you know, I had my grumble. And then after I read my verse, I was like, thank you, Lord, that I can bend down. I can clean that up. Thank you, Lord, that the cup that I do like didn't break. I have no idea how it got upside down without breaking, with whether it was a human or a cat. Yeah. I have no idea. But, you know, like, thank you that, just thank you, Lord. And I was able to find so many blessings out of the task that I had to clean up. Yeah, thank you that I have paper towels. Thank you that we're overstocked on paper towels. But, you know, despite that things don't always go as we plan, God is good, and I'm so thankful that I can be here today.
You're loved.